Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for joining me. If you just got here, thanks for tuning in and welcome aboard. 800-531-3815, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. It comes every week by email. I think you'll like it. Just check it out when you get a chance. And if you decide that you don't like it, then we take your name off. All you got to do is say unsubscribe me or remove or whatever. Have a good life or whatever you want. We'll take you off our list. Works like a charm every time. Doug Barry is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Doug is Director of Marketing and Communication for the U.S. Commercial Services, which is an extension of the Commerce Department. And as I said, he's our good friend. He's just gotten back recently, fairly recently, from a trip overseas, and I wanted him to tell us about what he found over there. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's been a while. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. Yeah, it's been too long, but we weren't able to get you because you were out of the country.
That's right.
Tell us where you were.
I was in Singapore, and it's a great place. It's a city-state in Southeast Asia, about 7 hours flying time from Japan.
All right, orient everybody where it actually is on the Pacific Rim.
Yes. It's a couple of degrees north of the equator, and it's very near Indonesia, maybe a half-hour boat ride, actually, from the island of Java.
Uh-huh.
And then it's maybe an hour's drive to Malaysia. It's actually at the very south of the Malaysian Peninsula.
Mm-hmm. And you say it's about a 6 or 7 hour flight from Japan?
Correct. Yeah, it takes a while to get there. From Washington, D.C., it took almost 24 hours. So it's a tiring journey, but it's well worth the time in the air.
Yeah. Now, what were you doing over there?
Well, I was the acting senior commercial officer at our office in the U.S. Embassy. Mm-hmm. And we help small and medium-sized U.S. enterprises enter markets all over the world, Singapore being one of them.
Right. So what's going on in Singapore these days?
Well, a lot of exciting things. It's kind of a disciplined and tightly wound place, and it got its independence from Great Britain in the early 1960s, so it hasn't been around as a country for a while,
mm-hmm.
and it's relatively small.
How big is it?
You can drive across the island in about an hour and a half, and it has 4 million people.
Wow.
And I think the discipline was necessary because...
That sounds like Manhattan only.
It's a little bit larger than Manhattan in terms of its land, but it's very densely populated, but it's easy to get around because it's a very disciplined place, and it's kind of developed on the sort of Chinese model, and many of its leaders are of Chinese extraction. Lee Kuan Yew is the sort of George Washington of Singapore, who was the mm-hmm. first prime minister. He ruled the government for many years. It is a democracy, but the principal party has been in power since the very beginning, and it has an opposition, but I think there's only 2 seats in the entire parliament with opposition
right.
people. So they want to make it more fun. It's an interesting place for sure. It's beautiful. It's clean. It's very efficient. It operates on the British legal system, which we Americans certainly would recognize. It's a very good thing. But people have complained that it's dull.
Huh.
So recently they began to loosen up a little bit. And when I was there, they declared that
bungee jumping was legal. When you showed up over there, I mean, that whole dull thing went out the window, Doug.
Well, let me tell you about the lychee martinis later.
Oh, okay.
They serve at one of the hotels there, which are out of this world. But now you can do bungee jumping, if that's your thing.
So how was that, Doug?
Pardon?
How was the bungee jumping?
Well, I didn't try it.
Oh,
I think my entertainment is a little bit more pedestrian.
You're a bungee jumping kind of guy.
No, I don't think so. Then the other bit of loosening up that they did while I was there, and these things were announced by the Prime Minister and carried widely in the press. This is now bar top dancing is now permitted.
Now I know why you went over there.
The whole place is falling apart, Jim. I'll tell you, bungee jumping and now bar top dancing.
Last year when they offered you a chance to go to Singapore, you turned them down. But this year, when you got the news, you decided to go, the bungee jumping and the bar top dancing. How about that? I'm glad we got this exposed here, folks. You didn't realize we were going to have an expose of Doug Barry. We're going to take a quick break. First, when we come back, we're going to find out why you might want to think about Singapore as a place to do some business and how Doug and his organization can help you with that. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Doug Barry, Director of Marketing and Communication for the U.S. Commercial Services, recently posted in Singapore as a Chief Commercial Officer over there in the embassy in Singapore. And Singapore is a very, very interesting place, Doug, as you were describing, because it really is kind of a little outpost of civilization and what previously, the last 20 years or so, was a pretty rough part of the world, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And still, of course, Jim, there are some problems. There are security issues,
right,
particularly in Indonesia. And they had the SARS outbreak in Singapore,
right,
which was started in last March.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you feel about that?
Well, it never bothered me because I realized that it was isolated to certain parts of the island, and that the Singaporean government, as very disciplined and strict as it is, had a great plan for eradicating it.
Unlike
and they
the
did
Chinese.
In short order.
Unlike the Chinese, huh?
Exactly. And
yeah.
There was one new case a couple of months ago, but it turned out to be a medical student who was fiddling around with the bacteria in a laboratory, and he caught it, but has now since recovered.
Well, good.
So none of that bothered me because I knew it was very isolated, although it bothered a lot of other people, and as a result, the tourism there sank, and the business took a hit.
Right. Well, tell us about what did you learn there about Singapore that would create an opportunity for small businesses in America?
Well, a couple of things. First, it's our 11th largest trading partner, and for a small country in that part of Southeast Asia, it's truly amazing the amount of goods that we ship and the things that we buy from them. So that's important. The other is that we've just signed a free trade agreement with Singapore.
That's good news.
Meaning that we will not pay any duties or tariffs on goods going into the country, and Singaporeans will not have to pay them coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The tariffs were low to begin with, but even now they're zero. And the 2% that they had before, that makes a difference. When you've got 2% on your pricing, to get rid of that really gives you a competitive advantage.
Absolutely. What are some things that we buy back and forth from each other?
Well, they import all kinds of things, medical products, things for their jet planes. Singapore Airlines is one of the largest and most highly rated airlines in the world. Food products, they don't grow any of their own food. Most of it is imported, so they import some of that from the United States. Machineries of all kinds, computer equipment.
Probably a lot of entertainment and services.
A lot of entertainment and consumer goods, just about every kind that you would imagine. And we helped a lot of companies this year enter Singapore, probably over 100, which was up three times over the previous year. And this is during SARS and all of the other issues that slow down in the area.
You helped 100 U.S. companies over there.
100. So it's like one every 3 days we helped enter the market and actually make a purchase.
Any small business examples?
I can give you one little example. This is a company that makes hair care and spa products in Houston, Texas. It's called mm-hmm. Farouk Systems. It's not a large company, but they make an excellent line of hair care products. They came, and we, of course, encouraged people to make a visit out there because it's really important to see where you're going and the opportunities that exist there and meet people. So they came last March to an event we call Asia Now, which is a program of the U.S. Commercial Service that basically makes it easier for U.S. companies to enter the 15 countries within Asia where we have embassies and operations.
So make Singapore the gateway to those places.
Yes, that's an excellent way to put it. It's a gateway or a launching pad into the larger region, which has 500 million people.
Wow.
Just in Southeast Asia alone, never mind China, which has, of course, over a billion, and India, which has over a billion. But just the countries of ASEAN, which includes Indonesia and Malaysia and Vietnam, we're talking, and the Philippines, we're talking 500 million consumers, which is
so,
a lot.
So perhaps you could not think about doing business in Singapore for Singaporeans as much as doing business perhaps with a Singapore company that would then export those products to wherever.
Exactly, and that's what happened with Farouk Systems. We found a distributor for them. This was a company that specializes in distributing hair care and spa products not only in Indonesia, in Singapore, but also in the larger region. It's a small company, been in business since the 1980s, and they're just excellent. So we made the match. We made the introductions, helped them with the market research, and last month they made their first sale, which was $100,000 worth.
That's great.
And that's just in Singapore, which has hundreds and hundreds of beauty parlors and spas, and they bought a container of $100,000 worth.
Tell us what you guys did for the Farouk company.
Well, mainly
we
helped find the partner. That is, I mean, the biggest obstacle for a small company is knowing who's who in these places. Well, we do, and for a very small fee, I think in this case it was $300, for several days of meetings with a variety of who's, we then helped the U.S. company find just exactly the right person who was eager to assist them. We checked their background to make sure that they were who they said they were, and then we assisted them also in developing their distributor agreement, which is very important, the terms and conditions of what.
So basically, you helped them find the prospect,
yes.
You helped them qualify the prospect, and you helped them make sure that they felt comfortable that the transaction was going to not only be legitimate but successful.
Right. We monitored it to make it sure that it was.
Yeah. Stand by. When we come back, we're going to get Doug to tell us how you can contact his organization, and we're going to talk about another part of the world right after these messages. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Doug Barry, Director of Marketing and Communication for the U.S. Commercial Services, a division of the Commerce Department, and recently posted as in Singapore, but now back home in our nation's capital. And Doug, congratulations on having the opportunity to make that trip. I bet that was exciting for you. What I'd like for you to do is two things. First is I want you to give us your website, tell us how we can contact you, and then I want you to sort of walk us through it in about a minute or so. I want you to walk us through the steps that someone would take to contact your organization and then potentially wind up with a sale somewhere like Singapore.
Sure, Jim. Happy to. First, the website,
www.export.gov. Export.gov, just simply export.gov.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the 1-800 number, and you can call, and you can ask for your nearest U.S. Export Assistance Center. We have 108 of them around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably one fairly near your listeners. And that toll-free number is 1-800-USA-USA-TRADE, T-R-A-D-E.
1-800-USA-TRADE.
Yes.
Okay.
And the second part of it was the steps.
Yeah.
The first step, of course, is to contact us through the website. You'll see all of the contact numbers for all of our offices in the United States, or make the call, and someone will tell you exactly where they are and guide you to the local office. And then the next step would be to call them or send them an email and say, you're interested in Southeast Asia, interested in Singapore, and you would like to sit down with someone within our organization and talk about how you could do it. And that will happen then. They'll come to you, drive to your office, meet you somewhere in your downtown area or wherever you are, and you will discuss your needs and a strategy for making a sale in one of those markets.
Now, you mentioned earlier about going over there to Singapore, that you recommended people make the trip. But the truth is, Doug, you and I have talked about this on the show before, and that is that it's possible to meet those people in a virtual way. You guys will set up video conferencing for American companies to meet, say, someone in Singapore, and they'd be on the video on the other end, and they'd actually get to meet, and you could send your products over there in advance, and you could actually demonstrate your products in a virtual way.
It's true, Jim, that we have several ways that a company in the United States can sell products into that or many other markets around the world without ever having going there. We certainly don't want to discourage people from the face-to-face contacts because it's still those contacts that make the world go round.
Right.
But increasingly, you can do things online and via video conferencing and not go to the place, at least initially.
Right.
We have a couple of other ways. One is our matching service online, which is called buyusa.com.
Right, which
there
we
are companies
about on the show
from
before.
Singapore on there.
Mm-hmm.
And for $50 a year, you can have access to this service, and you can actually find importers in 80 countries around the world, and you can negotiate with them back and forth via email.
Do your own searching and qualifying there.
Yes,
but
you
also,
do. But also
we have the folks like Doug available to you.
Yes, and we'll monitor the process. We'll talk to people that you're talking to
right.
online and make sure that the transaction goes well from our offices in these embassies. And then the third way to do it is that each embassy has a website, and these can be found at export.gov, and you can have your product listed on the embassy website. Mostly it's free in English-speaking countries. That would
right.
be the case in Singapore. And for a small fee to translate your company information, we can translate it into languages in any of the other countries you might be interested in.
I don't know what more they can do for you, folks, other than set the prospect in front of you with money in his hand. I think this is a great service that I wanted you to know about. We got less than a minute, Doug. Let's talk quickly about United Arab Emirates, a place where I have been, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Sharjah. These are some of the Emirates there south of Qatar, south of Bahrain, on the Gulf, on the Persian Gulf, or the Arabian Gulf, as they call it. I got just about 30 seconds. What's going on over there?
Well, a lot. In fact, if you go to www.export.gov, you will see that the United Arab Emirates is the market of the month this month, and that means there's all kinds of information. There's a webcast in which I interview the senior commercial officer, Nancy Charles Parker, in mm-hmm. Abu Dhabi. And I think, to put it briefly, there's tremendous opportunities now in the UAE. UAE folks are very friendly and well-disposed towards the United States. Few U.S. companies are going there. If more did, we'd make more sales.
Well said, Doug. I want to have to wrap it up, though. Thanks for being here. Good job today. Great information. We'll see you later. Doug Berry, ladies and gentlemen, with U.S. Commercial Services. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.